Amen. Someone said that to me this morning. I wondered where they heard that. 2024 is going to be the year of I'm in at Central Christian Church. Depending on where you're at in this, you're in or you're not, are you in? Think about that. From now on to Easter, we're going to take these weeks to especially answer that question by looking at the life of Jesus as an answer to that question. I was going to call the series I'm in like Jesus was. But I didn't want that to end up giving a wrong impression that somehow the work of Jesus has stopped, that Jesus was and isn't now. Fact is, Jesus is full-blown in still in this business of helping us. And so for 10 weeks, we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. And I'd like you to open up your Bibles to the book of Mark to see how Jesus was completely committed to the work of saving us, and still is. When someone asks, just what does it look like to be in? One of the ways we're going to answer that is by looking at how Jesus was in. Last week we were talking about the unquestionable value of human life, including yours. God made you for a purpose. Did you know that? You aren't here by chance. You're not here this morning by chance either. But it's no wonder to me that so many people are struggling with a sense of anxiety and hopelessness when you look at their view of life and how we got here. That we're all the result of some happy collision of random atoms that ultimately arranged themselves into molecules, that arranged themselves into proteins, that came together to form cells and tissues and organs and organisms and entire ecosystems, and here we are. And under that arrangement, your purpose for existence and mine is on the very same level as a cockroach or a cloud. No wonder people struggle. Everything that happens to us, everything we do, carries the same meaning or non-meaning. And then there are others who think, well, that might be true, but there's still purpose to be found in life. It can be found in some kind of altruistic or important-sounding cause. Join a cause. Be an influencer. Be an activist. Save the whales or the snails or the lobsters. Stop the use of styrofoam cups and plastic straws or bottled water and gas stoves. I heard this last week, last couple days, they added to the list coffee and houseplants, which are clearly destroying the earth. If I sound a little cynical about that, I'm on record, I'm cynical about that. All right. So under this system like that, you grow up, you get up in the morning, you go to school, you graduate, you get a job, maybe a family, you still get up in the morning and you go to work or whatever, maybe you even buy some stuff and you grow old, and you continue to get up in the morning until you can't anymore, and then you're gone, just like 10 billion people before you. Sounds great. Listen, life in Jesus is about being devoted to something that has great purpose and meaning. And when we take the name of Jesus Christ as our own, we get up in the morning with purpose, and at the foundation of everything we do, there is this great purpose in life. Times require that we occasionally step back and consider if we're being real when we say, I'm in, I'm being committed to Jesus Christ, especially as the situations around us increasingly get hostile towards Christianity. That's probably the kind of situation Mark was thinking about as he wrote the book that we call the Gospel of Mark. He put together this account about the life of Jesus. Most likely, it was written in Rome early in the time when pressure was just coming upon Christians for being Christians. What did Christians in Rome need when it came to making sure they didn't waver in their devotion to Jesus? The answer can be found in Mark's gospel. And I think it gave them a quick and important reminder of what their commitments were all about. When early Christians asked themselves, hey, why are we going against our culture? Why do we refuse to worship the gods that the people around us mostly worship? Why do we refuse to run after self-satisfaction? Why take stands that will cost us maybe everything we own, maybe even our lives? The answer was, because you committed to being in this kingdom work for Jesus. Your life is lived with a purpose that comes from God, and it points beyond those things, and you can see how that looks when you look into the life of Jesus. Thank you, Mark. Church, we need that same kind of encouragement today, I think. When we start to ask ourselves, hey, why do we walk against the culture? Why refuse to jump in with what seems to be like what most everyone else around us is in? Why care about anyone ahead of myself? Why listen to anyone else's idea that I should do something other than what I want and what's wrong and right? Why be square pegs in this culture? By the way, when a video gets a million views on YouTube or someone has a million followers on X, that's not the same as an authoritative word about what really matters in life. It's not. For the next couple months, we're going to be challenged by the life of Jesus. We're going to look and see what does it look like when the Son of God says, I'm in. Open up to Mark. You'll see what I'm talking about. Mark is a unique gospel. You know, when Matthew starts out his gospel, Matthew the tax guy, he starts with this long, drawn-out family tree and a bunch of numbers. Luke records his gospel with a preface explaining what he has written. It's kind of like a movie that starts and rolls credits for 2 minutes while the movie starts. John goes way back. In fact, he goes clear back to the beginning of time, where Jesus is still in heaven. Mark, verse 1, beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Any questions? Good. Isaiah predicted it. John the Baptist appeared. John the Baptist baptized people. Jesus appeared. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Jesus started his ministry. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe in the gospel. End of story. Something like that. It reminded me of the scene of Return of the Jedi. This will hit with some of you, I know. The rest of you, hang on. But Darth Vader has just arrived at the landing pad. Commander Jar-Jared says, Lord Vader, this is an unexpected pleasure. We're honored by your presence. Remember Darth Vader? You may dispense with the pleasantries, Commander. I'm here to put you back on schedule. Either Mark was writing during a huge paper and ink shortage, or there is some other reason that his gospel is the shortest, fastest streaming, no commercial gospels of the four. No family history, no Christmas, no Joseph, not by name. Mary gets mentioned by name once. No boyhood in Nazareth. John the Baptist appears. Jesus begins. Buckle up, because by chapter 11, we're in the last week in Jerusalem. If you're one of those people who likes to go on a road trip and stop off at all the historic markers, if you like to go through a museum and read everything by every display, you're going to struggle with Mark, because Mark's going faster. Chapter 1, look at verse 29, just to get a feel for that. Immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Are you in like Jesus is in? Let's look at three questions this morning that the whole Gospel of Mark fits into 16 chapters to help with that. Here is the first question. In the spirit of Mark, let's keep moving. Does my life look like someone who's in? See, Mark's gospel is an account of action. It contains fewer words of Jesus than the other three, but it is also full of motion. Jesus is moving, directing, healing, speaking, working miracles, constantly pointed toward his mission. And he states it in the key verse of the whole book. If you're marking up your Bible this morning, chapter 10, verse 45. That's the key to the book. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark shows us how Jesus was not only God, but was also God who had poured himself into a human body for the purpose of being a servant. One clue of that is how we find him 14 times in the Gospel of Mark calling himself the Son of Man. Son of Man. We don't find Jesus called Lord in Mark before his resurrection, except when he enters Jerusalem and on two other occasions. Other than that, Son of Man. He was a servant. He had a mission. And he came to completely give himself to accomplish that mission. None of us, by the way, can pattern our lives after Jesus exactly. What would Jesus do? That was a great idea. It's still a great question to ask. But none of us has been born to offer our lives as, like Steve was speaking about earlier, as the Passover lamb, as the Lamb of God. We can't do that like Jesus did. Slain from the foundation of the world. We can't. But every one of us can serve. Amen? Every one of us can be a servant. We can understand that we've been granted life and talents and time for the purpose of serving others, like Jesus said he came to do. I'm not much into titles. You may have noticed that about me if you know me. We lived in Hillsboro, Ohio. One time somebody called up the office and they were trying to ask for the minister who was the head minister, and they said, is the prime minister there? I don't make a big issue of it, but I do like the title minister because it's biblical and it's more in keeping with what every one of us is supposed to be in the church. Amen? Ministers. Hey, who's the minister at Central Christian Church? Well, that's everyone. That's all of us. We're all just ministering and serving in different ways. Jesus, who deserved to be served, who deserved to be worshiped, said his purpose on earth wasn't to be served, but to serve and to give his life for us. He stooped down and washed the feet of his disciples. And then he said to them, if I, being your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Or as Dr. Paul Reese describes it, if you want a picture of success as heaven measures it, of greatness as God views it, don't look for the blaring of the bands of Broadway. Listen rather for the tinkle of water splashing into a basin while God incarnate, in a humility that makes the angels hold their breath, sponges the grime from the feet of his undeserving disciples. I can tell that Jesus was completely devoted to his mission by the way that he served. There were actions then that finished the mission that he came for. From the very first word, Mark shows us Jesus on the move. Jesus moving towards the showdown in Jerusalem, the cross, and the empty tomb. He was moving to complete a mission because Jesus had come to be a sacrifice. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came with that goal in mind. Chapter 9, verse 31, he tells the disciples, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. Flip over to chapter 10, the next chapter. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. That was the goal. Once he began his ministry, he carried it out. He didn't run off. He didn't go off to Rabbi U to find himself. Mark makes it so obvious. 9 verses into this book, Jesus comes to be baptized by John and to begin his ministry. Verse 16, he starts calling to himself the 12 who will become his closest followers. And Mark is showing us this Jesus who is living his life with a mission in front of him, and his actions demonstrate it. Nobody who reads the book of Mark wonders if Jesus is working towards his goal of serving and offering his life as a ransom for many. His actions are constantly working to complete the mission. Mark is the shortest of all 4 Gospels, and yet when Mark gets to the cross scene, when Mark gets to the climax of the ministry of Jesus, he spends quite a bit of time detailing that. Mission accomplished. Are you in like Jesus was? What about your life? Right now, January 28, 2024, says that you understand you have a divinely designed mission and that you, in your life, are moving to fulfill that mission. I'm not pointing to a chapter and a verse that says that you should have this. I'm pointing to a whole gospel called Mark and to a view that Mark gives us of Jesus. And I'm saying if we're going to be like Jesus, that should be us too. So ask the question, what about my life reflects that I'm in? And if the answer to this question is, well, there's nothing about my life that really shows that, then it's time to step back and consider if you have really committed yourself to God's purposes for your life or not. Are you in or not? Chapter 8, verse 34, calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Is there something about my life that shows I'm in? Here's a second question. Do I avoid the hindrances? Do I avoid the hindrances? I can tell, looking in Mark, that Jesus was completely devoted to his mission because there are constantly this barrage of things to try to throw him off track. And he's constantly dealing with potential hindrances to his mission. When he was casting out demons, Mark says, he told them to be quiet because they knew who he was, but it wasn't time for everyone else to know who he was quite then. See, that would have been a hindrance. And Mark pictures Jesus almost like he's just running from one crowd to the next, so that he could get away to teach his disciples. Jesus goes off by himself to pray. Peter takes him aside at one point and rebukes him, corrects Jesus to tell him, no, this isn't how it's going to be. And Jesus turns to him and says, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. All through his ministry years, Jesus dealt with distractions, partly because Satan was trying to get him knocked off course from the mission. I want to tell you something. You're dealing with that right now. Sitting here right now. You know why? Because Satan doesn't want you modeling your life after Jesus. And right now, if he could distract you from thinking about that, he would. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's the challenge that we get in Hebrews chapter 12. Put aside every weight and sin, the writer says. Well, of course, sin slows us down. Of course, sin doesn't help us in the race for Jesus. But he also mentions get rid of the weight or the bulk. There's a New Year's resolution for a lot of us. But what he's talking about is things that are not necessarily bad things, like sin is, but things that can still slow us down. We're surrounded by bulk in life, aren't we? There are all kinds of things. Things that in and of themselves, sometimes they're not bad, but your life can get so full of them that they can keep you or they can keep your kids from running the race like we're supposed to. The most important thing. That might look like the new hobby that you took up when you retired. It might be your kids' sports or other extras schedule. Are you listening, parents? That one thing that sets the whole family schedule from week to week? All these things aren't bad, but are they weight? I look at Jesus and Mark, and I'm reminded, how necessary is it to avoid hindrances? Are you doing that? Do you want some practical advice? I'm glad you asked that. Look at Jesus and Mark, and I want you to remember these four things. You're going to see them when you're going through Mark. Number one, private time away from crowds is vital. Jesus did that. Jesus took private time away from crowds. Number two, good habits and practices need to fill our lives so that bad habits won't. It's not enough just to get rid of the bad things. Our lives need to be filled with the good things. You'll see that in the life of Jesus. Number three, people's places or things that hinder us need to be offloaded. And number four, wasted time needs to stop. And that brings us to this third question. Do I live like I'm on limited time? Every Sunday morning I get up here, I'm living that way, I tell you. Is he done yet? I'm not sure where everyone is going, but I notice a lot of people are in touch with this limited time thing. We tend to rush for a lot of reasons, don't we? Woodstock, Ontario, in a newspaper, the Sentinel Review, had this article a few years back. Our American visitors, this is Canada, our American visitors are normally welcome here, but occasionally they reveal some odd notions about our country. Charged with driving at 74 miles an hour, a Michigan man gave a captivating explanation. He thought that since the Canadian gallon is bigger than the U.S. gallon, miles might be longer north of the border. To cover the 60 Canadian miles in an hour, he felt his speedometer should show at least 70 miles an hour. The magistrate clarified the error and fined him in Canadian dollars, which are smaller than U.S. dollars. Lots of people are in a hurry. I guess they're on limited time. You know what? So are you. You're on limited time. Does your life show that? Does it look more like you're going to get around to it one day when being completely given over to Jesus becomes, I don't know what, more convenient? When's that time going to come? Jesus lived his life with a sense of urgency. Time was limited. He spent 30 years preparing, but then once he started his ministry, it was a sprint to the cross. I know this is going to come up in Mark because of Mark's favorite word, immediately. Immediately. 40 times. 40 times he uses this word. 11 times in the first chapter. 11 times in the first chapter. Well, there you go. 11 times this word immediately shows up. Jesus had just 3.5 years to accomplish this ministry work he had to do. He was on limited time. And as you read the shortest of all the Gospels, you get that sense. He who existed before time began, who is and was and is to come, who will not change yesterday, today, or forever, dove into time, space, history and set the timer for 33.5 years. So Jesus lived with a sense of urgency because he was on limited time. Not to rush you, but so are you. The clock is ticking for every one of us and everyone else too. And I don't get the sense that life is going to suddenly slow down for us. Church, we need to get a sense of the urgency in our situation. Our challenges are accelerating. The gap between now and the time that Jesus comes again is shrinking. Satan isn't waiting around for us, and the only reason that God is delaying his return is for the sake of people that we will reach who will accept him still. We're on limited time. Your lifetime isn't the only one with a limit. So is the life of your one person. So is the life of your neighbors, your friends, your family members, the homeless guy that you drove by the people that you work with, the total stranger you lock eyes with today? Are you living with this sense of urgency about their lives? Paul said in Ephesians 5, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most, the best use of your time, because the days are evil. God has placed us, the members of his church, as ambassadors, whose mission is to reconcile lost people with their Creator. There's only one resource in this mission that he has given us that we are promised is going to run out. Time. Mark, why'd you write such a short gospel? I'll tell you why, guys, so it wouldn't take you as long to read it and decide I'm in. Most everyone here, I think, probably remembers a time when you would order something in the mail and it would take 2 or 4 weeks, it would show up in your mailbox. Weren't those great days? Now you click submit on Amazon and your doorbell rings and there's a guy on your porch with a box. I can punch in an order on my Chick-fil-A app, not on Sunday, but I can punch in an order on my Chick-fil-A app, drive into the drive-thru land and have a line and have a chicken sandwich in my hand in a minute. And attention spans have sped up too. Have you noticed that? If you don't get the point fast enough, forget it. I'm on to the next thing. And the DMV. Well, they're still kind of their own world. In this era of faster everything, I wonder, could we speed up this thing of complete devotion to Jesus Christ? Could we get on to it? The world around us needs for us to do that. And I'm not speaking about just being busy for the sake of being busy, but feeling the sense of urgency because we are on limited time. Mark, is the good news about Jesus short and sweet? There is no better way to learn about how it looks to say, I'm in, than looking at the work of Jesus. He was in, he is in. Does my life look like someone who's in? Do I avoid the hindrances? Am I living like I'm on limited time? There's a shorter question to all of this. Are you in? Told you we'd be asking that a whole lot. Are you in? Maybe this morning you're looking at this real quick view of the life of Jesus going, oh, that's it. Yeah, I want to be part of that. And you're ready this morning to quit putting it off, to quit living like time is unlimited, to quit letting the hindrances get in the way, and you're ready to become a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. If you're ready to make that choice, we want to help you make it quick. We want to help you do that. And this morning is an opportunity to do that. You can step forward today and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I'm in. I want to be baptized into him. I want to start my new life in him. I want my sins forgiven. I want his spirit to come live inside of me. And I want to move forward from this day for him. That's what we're talking about. If you're ready to do that, then this morning we've got a chance for you to do that. Let's stand up together. We're going to pray together. We're going to encourage you to respond to God's word this morning. If you're ready to do that, I'm going to be right up here at the front in just a moment while we're singing a song to conclude today. And this is a great time for you to step forward and say, yeah, I'd like to do that. If you want to make that public today, this is the crowd to do that in front of. You know, there are a few places this morning that I can think of where more people will be glad that you make that decision than right here. We've tried to make that as easy as possible. We've tried to remove the hindrances as best we can because we know how important this is for you and your relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do pray this day that we would have renewed in us, stirred up inside of us, that sense of urgency that we see in the life of Jesus as he made his way to Jerusalem and to the cross. for us. And now, Father, we have been handed off that continuing work that you're waiting for us to do. And that there are people, Father, in our lives, in our circles of influence, who are waiting for us to take the steps we need to take, to speak the right words, to reach out to them outside of our comfort zones, outside of what others might consider the norm. Lord, if that's what it takes, so be it. Help us to be truly your ambassadors so that others can have life in you. We pray for those today who are in the throes of that decision, maybe putting it off. Father, please, please help remove those hindrances today so that we all together in one voice can say to you, amen. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.